Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Right? Share a few things with you this evening. Please pray for us. This may be all I can get it out tonight. It's one of them messages I wish I could scream and shout and jump and carry on, because it's one of them psalms that excites my soul. But you'll have to be excited about what's in the psalm, not the way that it's being preached to you. And so I hope this will be a help to you this evening. We'll go for a moment, and I can cut this off probably a few places and pick it back up. And so we'll see how that goes. If I'm going to go a few minutes, we'll let Brother Joe jump up here. When I was younger, of course, you know, my grandpa was a preacher and my daddy was a preacher, and then God called me to preach. And I don't know where they got the idea. Grandpa used to do this with another man who traveled with them. They would sing together, and both of them were preachers, and they would do what they called tag team preaching. And tag team preaching, they was preaching from the same text. They had developed a message together, and one would preach an introduction in the first point, and he'd run down and he would tag Brother Dan Tony. Brother Dan Tony jump up and he'd preach point number two. He'd run down, tag Grandpa, he'd preach point three, and however many points, they called it tag team preaching. And I got to do that several occasions with my grandpa and with my daddy. And so maybe me and Brother Joe's going to do some tag team preaching tonight. All right. Psalm 112. Stand with me if you're willing and able to do so. And I thought, I knew I was having a little trouble all day long. I could feel it. But I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I got up here and opened my mouth. I feel like somebody reached down in my chest and just closed off the spigot. And so you pray the Lord to help us this evening. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Now, I can't shout, so y'all going to have to do some shouting now. He said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Notice the contrast that is made in the reading of verse number 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The righteous are going to endure forever. The righteousness of the righteous shall never fade away. He said in that psalm, the blessed man and the good man is never going to be moved. He is a fixture in the family of God. But the wicked are going to be destroyed. They're going to melt away. They're going to be grieved. And he said in the end, it is the wicked and all of their desires that are going to perish. But I'm glad John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I'm glad tonight, if you're saved, there is a contrast and there is a line and a mark of distinction between us and the wicked. I thank God for it. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? by the good grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen and amen. We said as we come through Psalm 111 that it goes along with several psalms that follow it. These are hallelujah psalms or hallel psalms that emphasize, begin or end with the phrase, praise ye the Lord. And so Psalm 111 began, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 113 began, praise ye the Lord. And Psalm 112 in our text began with praise ye the Lord. Tonight, as we give consideration to this psalm, we believe again it's a psalm of David, likely David. We're not sure about that. But David was a man who knew something about praising the Lord. And here he is calling upon the people of God to join him in praising the Lord again. He said in Psalm 111 again, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord. And here he calls upon us again to praise the Lord. And so tonight we're interested in Psalm 112 as it begins to embark upon and calling upon us to praise the Lord. And while this psalm is speaking of the life and the character of what we'll call tonight the blessed man and the good man and the righteous man, we need to understand tonight it is God who is to be praised for making you and I such. We're not blessed and good and righteous in and of ourselves. This is not a psalm that we're patting ourselves on the back. This psalm is going to deal, no doubt, with our life and the life that we're aimed to live tonight and the goal that we have to live up to what this psalm says the blessed man is. But make no mistake about it, this psalm being a praise ye the Lord psalm reminds us, Brother Jack, it is the work of God in our life that has made us the blessed man, the blessed woman, the good man, the good woman, because in and of ourselves we have no righteousness of our own. And so the praise that we are giving to God and this work that is going on in our life is a wondrous, wondrous work. I think about this tonight in Psalm 112, that as we've read it tonight, this blessed man, this man that is fearing the Lord, this man that is delighting greatly in the commandments of God, this man whose seed is going to be mighty upon the earth, this man who has wealth and riches in his house, and on as we've read, that ultimately tonight only Jesus can live up to what this psalm proclaims. Really, it is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ that is to come. For instance, statements that are made in this psalm that speak of this man's righteousness enduring forever. That is not true of you and I. There are days, thank God, we are righteous. But there are days we're not righteous as we should be. But Jesus, it can truly be said of him, his righteousness endures forever. And so tonight, Jesus is the only one truly that can live up to this. But from a practical application, I believe tonight we're called upon to praise the Lord. For it is the Lord, if we're going to live this psalm, it is going to be the Lord that is conforming us to his Son. And when the Lord saved you, he predestinated that you be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be what Psalm 112 says, and I ain't a shouting tonight, but this is a good truth you need to get a hold of. If you're going to live up to Psalm 112, it'll be God conforming you to the one who can live up to Psalm 112. Amen. It ain't being a Baptist that's going to do it. It ain't going to be in a King James Bible thumper that's going to do it. It is going to be in the Lord conforming you day by day with Christ as the goal, being conformed into his very image. And so let's give you the thought tonight with some of that in mind. Praise ye the Lord. And then notice how this psalm begins. In fact, it's going to begin with the same word that begins all the psalms all the way back in Psalm 1. Blessed. In fact, notice this phrase, blessed is the man. Blessed is simply means how happy. How happy. I believe tonight, in the day that we're living in, that God's children need to learn how to be happy. Amen. I believe that one of the greatest marks of a child of God ought to be the joy of the Lord that flows from their life. I'm for standards and I'm for living by moral guidelines, and there ought to be marks and traits about our life that can be seen visually in the way that we live, in the things we resist and avoid and are separated from and to. But there's no greater mark about you being saved than you displaying the joy of heaven in your life. This psalm, when it begins, blessed is, it means how happy, referring to a person's state of bliss. Webster's defined, Brother Mike, the word bliss as the highest degree of happiness. And I say tonight, God's people ought to have the highest degree of happiness of all the people on God's earth tonight. It is you and I who ought to have the highest degree of happiness. We ought to be more happy than the drunkard. We ought to be more happy than the dope addict. We ought to be more happy than the crowd that's in Hollywood. We ought to be more happy than the ball players. We ought to be more happy than those who are indulging in all sorts of sinful pleasures tonight. It is you and I that are saved that ought to have the highest degree of happiness and joy. This word or phrase, blessed is, it signifies the reality of heavenly joys. I need to say that again tonight, and I need you to listen. It signifies, Brother Tim, the reality of heavenly joys. When the Bible said, blessed is the man, he's not talking about the worldly man finding a moment of pleasure in the sin that is in the world. Oh no, he is talking about the reality of joy that is attached to something that is heavenly, something beyond this realm. I wish I could preach, Brother Joe, something beyond what we can see here, something beyond what we can touch here, something beyond where we can sit here, something beyond what we can hear in this realm. And the joy here is a reality of heavenly joy. Heavenly joy. This word, blessed, or phrase blessed is, it is a poetic exclamation, so as to say, listen to this, oh, the bliss of, oh, the bliss of, followed by the source of joy that is being recognized. And so in the Hebrew, to use this word translated and given to us in our perfect King James Bible, blessed is, it is making a poetic exclamation, oh, the bliss of. Here, the source in the psalm is that of the spiritual blessings that we have in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Oh, the bliss of the blessings we've received from the hand of the Lord. Oh, the bliss of the conforming work of the Lord that is going on in our life. So tonight, if I was to give you a thought, I'll end here in just a moment, but if I was to give you a thought that we could settle in upon this psalm, it would be this thought, oh, the bliss of being blessed. Oh, the bliss, the highest degree of happiness of being blessed with spiritual blessings. Amen. I'm not talking about the happiness we find in a ball arena or in a football stadium or on a shopping trip or on a bass boat or on a deer stand when the big one walked by and you put him down. There's some happiness in that, but that's not the highest degree of happiness for the child of God. And that happiness resides in the spiritual blessings that you and I have from the hand of God tonight. And so the blessed, I'm glad I'm a part of the blessed tonight. I'm not a part of the wicked. I'm not a part of the worldling. I'm not a part of the carnal man. I'm a part of the man who has been blessed, being saved, being conformed to the image of Christ. And so the blessed tonight, the bliss of being blessed, the blessed are not happy because everything's going swell in their life. They're not blessed tonight, and they're not full of bliss because everything is just wonderful. That's not what this psalm is teaching. The blessed man, listen, the blessed man in Psalm 112, he has darkness that he has to encounter. In verse number 4, the Bible said, unto the upright there ariseth light. Watch it now, in the darkness. And so the blessed man still encounters darkness. The blessed man still has difficult decisions to make. Verse number 5 said he will guide his affairs with discretion. I mean, he doesn't just always know what to do. He doesn't always just have it all nailed down. Oh no, there are decisions that he has to make that are difficult decisions to make. You ever feel like you're there? Amen. The blessed man, he has darkness and he has decisions, difficult decisions to make. Look in verse number 7. The blessed man, he's not happy because everything's going well. He still has enemies that he has to encounter, or evil tidings, rather, he has to encounter. Verse number 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. That means, Brother Mike, Brother Mark, that means there's still bad news that comes to this man's house. There's still evil messengers that, amen, tell him of bad things that are going on around him. And so his blessedness, his bliss of being blessed, is not rooted in everything being well, because everything is not well around him. Notice that he still has enemies in verse number 8. The Bible said his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Can I tell you tonight, the blessed still have enemies. The blessed still have battles to fight with those enemies. There is opposition that the blessed face because of enemies. There are people that hate them. There are people that are grieved with them in verse number 10. There are people that are still trying to work against the blessed and make it as hard on them as they can. But can I say, those that are the blessed, they still have happiness. And they don't have it by the thimbleful. They have it by the bucketfuls. Amen. Hallelujah. They are people that have bliss because their blessings are not rooted in what is going on around them. They're not robbed of their bliss because of the darkness. They're not robbed of their bliss because they're in a difficult time of their life and they have a decision to make and they don't know what to do. They don't lose their joy. They don't lose their smile because of evil tidings. They don't allow the enemies to steal their joy because their bliss is rooted in what God is doing in their life in the midst of all of these things. We're a generation of Christianity tonight that, and you like this or not, and if I could preach, I'd really scold all of us, myself included. Our joy is so rooted in what we're going through. Amen. Boy, we sing loud when everything's well, and when it don't, we sing with a frown on our face, barely above a whisper, and not because we got whatever we got. I hope this ain't laryngitis and settle in on and on. Amen. I'll be back, Bobby. I'll be back screaming on Sunday. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. We better learn not to let our bliss be measured by what we're going through in this life. Amen. Amen. You say, you don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been pastoring 20-something years now. And God's people, it is amazing how governed they are based upon the darkness and the difficulties and the opposition and the bad news they got. But I believe Psalm 112 teaches us, as we're being conformed to the image of Christ, that there is a joy that does abide. How do we know that? Because Christ went through the darkness, and Christ went through difficulty, and Christ had to guide his life through those difficult situations, and Christ had evil tidings, and Christ had enemies that he had to face. But here's what Hebrews 12 verse number 2 said: looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Did the cross have some difficulty? Did the cross have some darkness? Did the cross have some evil tidings? Did the cross have some enemies set against the Lord? But what did he do? He endured all of that because there was a joy that abode, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And then what happened in the end? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that our joy and the bliss, the bliss of being blessed, it is rooted in my life being conformed to that of my Lord and my Savior. And when your joy and bliss is rooted in that, there ain't nothing you can go through where joy will not abide in your heart. Amen. Amen. Oh, the bliss of being blessed. Now, I'm just going to say this. What I want to do, we'll do it on next Wednesday, Lord's willing, is walk you through Psalm 112 and show you some of the things about the bliss of being blessed, the blessed man, the good man, the righteous man, this man that is being conformed to the image of Christ, what is going on in his life. We'll look at the love of the blessed man, verse number 1. We'll look at the legacy of the blessed man, verse number 2. We'll look at the loot of the blessed man. What is his treasure? Wealth and riches are in his house. That's what verse 3 said. But does he derive his bliss from the wealth and the riches as far as you can add in monetary value? That ain't what that verse said. That verse said what he counts to be treasure is the righteous work of God going on in his life. So we look at his loot. And we look at his light, the light of the blessed man. He has light in the darkness. I can't wait to preach that. Amen. We'll look at the liberality of the blessed man. He is a man that is liberal in graciousness and liberal in gentleness and liberal in godliness and liberal in his generosity. You'll see all of that in Psalm 112. How we doing out there? I'm talking about, the bliss of being blessed. We look at the liberality. We look at the loyalty of the blessed man. He is a man that will not be moved. He ain't up and down. He ain't in and out. He ain't hot and cold. He has a consistency in his life as he is loyal to the Lord. And then I want to look at the leaning of the blessed man. I want to preach on that a while, probably about 20 minutes on the leaning of the blessed man. Bible said The Bible said in Psalm 112 that he has a heart that is both fixed and, Brother Tim, established. It is fixed and it is established. And there are enemies working against him. And there are evil tidings that have come to him. But what does he do? How is his heart fixed? How is his heart established? The Bible said it is that way because he is trusting in his God. He is leaning upon God. No matter if you learn to lean on God, I promise you, you'll always have the bliss of being blessed in your life. Amen. And then if the Lord will help us, we'll close with the lamenting over the blessed man. Because the Bible said the wicked shall see it. What is the it? It is what God is doing in the life of his children. He'll see that. The wicked will see that. And they'll be grieved. Why? Because the blessed man, the wicked man, watches the blessed man go through the dark. Watches him go through the difficulty. Watches him get evil tidings and bad news. And watches him fight battles. And there the wicked watch that the blessed man still remains happy and joyful no matter what comes his way. And he gets grieved because he don't have what the saved man has in his life. Amen. That ought to be a mark upon every one of our lives, that sinners can see the abiding heavenly joy that is a reality in our life, and they get grieved that we have something that satisfies us that they know nothing about. Amen. Amen. They'll see it and be grieved, and then there's things they'll desire they'll never know. You know what the wicked do? They desire to find joy in trips and vacations and sunny days on the beach, and they live for that. They live for that. But if they'll be honest tonight, there's no abiding joy in that. It all fades. Amen. You can't stay on vacation forever. Amen. You gotta go. You gotta leave the beach and go back home to bills and jobs and long hours and headaches and heartbreaks and tears. Amen. Vacations don't last forever. They fade away. And what is abiding? What is abiding is what is in the saved, and that is the work that God is doing in our life. Can I say tonight, I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with the conforming work that God is doing in my life, and I'm glad to testify tonight, he's still working on me. Amen, and I'm happy about that. I am happy about that.